Welcome to the Google Sessions. This is probably one of the highest requested sessions, and it's definitely not the one that is easiest to crack, because even for us, we did went through a lot of trial and error before we actually got ranked into one of the number one video in Viettel. I can't wait to share with you what are some of the insights that we've got. So let's dig in. The first question obviously is how to crack. I wish right now you should have already went through my Facebook sessions first, because in there I mentioned how I use both platforms concurrently. Basically, in a nutshell, I use Facebook to rapid test my creative, and Google is a place for me to scale. So if you currently have an untested or unproven VSL and you wanted to just straight away skip Facebook and just test it on Google right away, frankly, I wouldn't recommend so, because in Google, there are so many other variables that could have justified the successfulness of that VSL. So personally, I wouldn't do that yet, and it wasn't the way that we did before, so hence I wouldn't recommend it. But back to the questions, how to crack? I would say I've only got one word to this answer, and that is refinement. So when I say refinement, it includes all of these elements that I mentioned in my slides right here. So it can be the thumbnail, your video headline, your exclusion. That is not the campaign exclusion that I'm talking about. I'm talking like household income, age group, like all those insights you can get from individual campaign in Google. And also kind of like placement as well. And TV is another thing that a lot of people might overlook it, because it's kind of hidden in a way. So if you don't exclude it, you might not know. And I would also assume that a lot of us hasn't really cracked the TV connected tracking yet. Also, maybe not a sources that is going to convert the most. So if that's the case for you as well, you might also want to exclude it at the first place. Now, what I meant by refinement, if you went through my Facebook sessions, you would see me talking about more on the strategy on how to scale and sustain. I never really say anything about you have to have 10 copy, your headline has to be top notch, or, you know, all those little things that is in the ad element, right? But in Google, it's something very different. Right from the gate, when you wanted to launch your first campaign, all this element that I listed here, you need to really refine it. So if let's say you have a VSL, but you have 10 leads, for example, and all of these 10 leads had a different angle. Maybe one, it's for the top 1%. Another one, it's maybe for single mom. Another one, maybe it's for students. It's better for you to actually have a thumbnail that is actually aligned with the lead as well. Because in Facebook, I wouldn't mind so much if, say, you kind of just use a universal one for all of this lead. But in Google, it's very different because of the placement. A lot of the time, thumbnail will play a bigger role in YouTube compared to Facebook. Same goes to headline as well. I think those things, if, again, you have the same VSL, but you have 10 different angles to tackle different audiences, if you could make your ad as refined as possible, that is very aligned to your ad, your messages, and also your landing page, that would be the most ideal. Whenever a media buyer comes to YouTube, and I would say like the only way to crack things is actually what I call like an actual media buyer. Because for people who have just learned media buying maybe like 2 years ago, a lot of things has already become automated. So in Facebook, broad targeting works, right? And a lot of those automation actually does work. But in Google, unfortunately, it's still not the case. You need to understand your customer persona really well. You need to understand your messaging, your products very well as well. Because here, you really do need to use proper targeting in order for you to reach to your ideal audiences. When it comes to some of the best practice in optimization, I also have nailed down these three. Let's dig in one by one. The first one is you wanted to leave your campaigns for a minimum 3 days. This is actually very similar to Facebook as well. I say something the same, but it's very important for you to not touch your Google campaign at least for the first 3 days, irregardless what are the performance, irregardless how good or how bad it is. Because the recommended practice from Google is actually 7 days. But personally, I would say the first 3 days of the performance of the campaign is already not showing some promising sign, you could have killed it or reduced budget it already. Bear in mind, this sort of tie back with what I shared in Facebook as well. You still need to identify your consumer purchase behavior. And when I say this rule, I would assume that you already know that, because where I was before, we only launch campaign from Wednesday onwards, right? So assuming I launch Wednesday and then 3 days, maybe, you know, it's Friday or Saturday already. By that time, if the campaign is still not performing on Google, I would have killed it already. The recommended practice 7 days is a little bit too long. And if you were to reverse engineer and ask me, Shen, then would you then also put yourself at risk that you might kill a lot of campaigns that could have performed if you just leave it a little bit longer? The answer is yes. But based on the experience and based on my understanding of that account back then, I would say the likelihood of the campaign is going to continue grow if they didn't show promising sign in the first 3 days, it's very unlikely. Even though I could be wrong, I tested that as well. Like, I just kind of leave that campaigns that show some result but not very good, you know, for a longer period of time. The performance did get improved, but still is below benchmark. Even though I did my refinement, my optimization later on, the campaigns itself, which such an initial start of performance, it's also quite highly unlikely that this is the one that I'm going to scale. So when it comes to optimizations, kind of similar to what I shared before, you want to identify what is the lowest hanging fruit first. If let's say you launched 10 campaigns, there's only 3 showing you really promising result already, and the rest of the 7, it's just, you know, not there yet. I would put my focus on those 3 and continue to expand within that category, right? Because that would automatically what I view as my lowest hanging fruit, instead of kind of keep tackling or like understanding why those 7 didn't work. All right, so aside from not touching your campaign within the first 3 days, I would say like you focusing on the budget is actually more important than you starting to do those refinement or exclusion at the campaign level. What I meant by that is that when you first launch a campaign, let's say in the first 3 days or so, right? Irregardless of what the performance is right now, if it's actually showing you either very close to your benchmark or is way above your benchmark already, that would be a no-brainer to kind of just like increase your budget. But if it's something around like it's close but not really, you don't really want it to touch exclusion that much at the beginning, because we are talking about the campaign is probably hasn't even been live for like 7 days, right? So the earlier you exclude certain things, it might not be accurate because your data is not enough yet. And earlier you actually exclude certain things, it actually does limit delivery of that campaign, because you don't know yet whether is those things really didn't work or you kind of just exclude them too early at the first place. What I meant by exclusion here is those age group stuff, those ads placement stuff, and also like household income, those kind of segment. If the performance allowed, you actually wanted to keep it as open as possible. But again, when it comes to optimization with Google, once your campaign has reached to a significant spend and like a relatively high ad spend, you do want it to refine your targeting from that perspective as well. All I'm trying to say here is that if let's say your campaign has a lower budget, try to minimize your exclusion. But when your campaign already are spending a high daily budget, the way to optimize that is indeed from all of those exclusions. My second point, you wanted to increase your budget gradually. It's similar to Facebook, 20% is the guideline. But again, in Google, I would say it's even more flexible compared to Facebook. Because if you increase 20%, decrease 20%, I really don't think it affects much compared to Facebook. To me, if you have a campaign that's already start working on Google, you want to make sure that you really did fit this campaign enough budget in order for the machine learnings to continue to learn data and scale. It's very different compared to Facebook, because sometimes Facebook, if I kind of just double my ad spend, it's not a guaranteed thing that I would get double the return because of the machine algorithm. But Google, there is a lot of the chances is that campaigns itself really does limit its learning because of your budget, and hence it doesn't really deliver to a wider audiences. And I would say if I were to just double down my budget in either of this platform, doubling down on the budget on Google usually would give me a more promising return as compared to Facebook. Because Facebook, to me, with these tactics, is kind of like a hit or miss thing, and you could never really know. I would assume that's actually because of one is broad targeting and one is just like specific targeting, right? But when we're talking about like increasing your budget and whatnot, you also need to be very, very careful about not scaling your campaign too fast, too much. We had these mistakes before where once we crack one thing, every campaign in Google just start working. And we get so excited, we sort of just double down on every campaign. I wouldn't say double down. I think we went from like 1,000 per day ad spend all the way to 5,000. I don't know about you, because when we did that, there are some experts told us that, you know, that is the way to go as well. But when we try it, I wouldn't recommend anyone to do that, because again, you screwed with the machine learning, you screwed the campaign up. Because when you jack it up on, say you want to capitalize on the weekend, but when it's Monday, you wanted to lower it down, Google doesn't react the way that Facebook does. Meaning to say, if you already set like from Sunday, your daily budget is 5,000, and then on Monday you want to set it back to 1,000, but because the gap and the differences is so high on Monday itself, Google actually still has the ability to spend double on what you set. That means you thought that you have already scaled down, but actually it didn't, just because there's this rule that I show in my screenshot here that Google has. So massively scale up and scale down doesn't apply in Google at all. And if you are doing that way, it will only kill the sustainability of your campaign because of this massive adjustment in budget. So that's something that I hope you guys could avoid. And if you wanted to increase your budget, not a problem. Like I said, you can go beyond the 20% rule when it's at a daily budget range that is still within the low to medium range. But when you're at high daily budget range already, you also wanted to do things slightly more mindful as well to avoid killing the sustainability of the campaign. Lastly is actually targeting. We're talking about two language here when it comes to Google. When you enter Facebook, it's really more on like how can you identify your 20% and how can you scale that with different region, different look alike, or different lowest hanging fruit sort of thing. But in Google, you really need to crack your head and think about what are the suitable keywords, how can you leverage on custom audiences, what are some in-market things that you can actually go after, even topics even to scale your ad. Because I think in October, contextual targeting has been removed. So right now I can't say go for keyword anymore. But back then when we had our highest revenue, which is I think 2 million or 1.6 per month in revenue, 80% actually based on keyword. But since right now keyword has been removed, you wanted to approach custom audiences like how you approach keyword. Because typically when we talk about CA, people will group more terms into one CA first. But with keyword, people will actually limit it to 10, right? So all I'm suggesting is that you kind of treat CA the same as keyword and just start to experiment how that reacts first. Because we try with something with like website link that has like 100 of them. We also tried something that has just 10 of them. You wanted to start experiment with both, but as a beginning, I would encourage you to treat CA like keyword first to see how far your understanding of targeting versus your ad message is. Understand the gap between these two. Another thing that you can actually leverage on Google is Google Insight. I'm not sure actually is this something that comes super obvious to you, but if let's say you are running out of idea that is out of the box, I would say Google Insight is actually a very good place for you to understand what else is out there. For us, for example, because we have been managing Silva for such a long time, we understand a lot of different nuances or like keyword that we can go after. But it was Google Insight that actually told us that people who are more likely to watch your video are also more likely to be in fashion. That's an example that we used before. It's, I think, a in-market kind of audiences. So without that insight, I don't think we would ever target people who actually like fashion to begin with, because it doesn't seem related for us. But for some reason, it actually works. And that is something that I appreciate Google the most, because I do think that in terms of all this insight, it's actually more specific and more scalable when it comes to Google, because I know that Facebook has insight as well, but those are like really, really broad and it's not specific to that one campaign. And here I'm talking about you should go to your particular campaign that already have some targeting going on and just trying to understand people who are likely to convert from these targeting, what else they are also interested to look at. I would say that would also open up another pool of idea for you to further test. Last thing, I also think it's something that is relatively obvious, but I don't know how many of you guys are practicing it. So when I crack Facebook, obviously, like I say, I know Silva for a long time. I started managing Silva when it's actually in a webinar funnel, but it has reached to a point where I ran out of ideas and I don't know what else to target. And I just start to watch the VSL over and over again and kind of just start to identify certain keywords, even certain phrase even as my targeting for my new campaign. All right, since I've been talking so much about refinement at the very beginning of the video, I'm actually going to show you exactly how I approach this word as well when I was managing the campaign. So what is actually showing in this screen is literally the campaign log that I have when I first started managing the campaign. So as you can see here, it's nothing too fancy. I'm pretty sure right now you can easily build something with Notion on a database view and you can pull some correlation as well. But when I first started, honestly, my only goal is to make sure my revenue keep on increasing. I don't have time to think of process system and all those things. And this is just a very simple way of how I was approaching it back then. So I started my log with just a date and then a list of the campaign that I was looking into. And I logged the budget adjustment as well. So anything that do with budget is actually within this log. Anything that's nothing to do with budget is actually under this column called idea. Like I said, you shouldn't be adjusting your budget too drastically or too frequently with Google. So for campaign that actually doesn't perform super well out of the gate, you wanted to give it a little bit benefit of doubt to exclude certain things first. And all of those things that I have with actually what I put under idea. As you can see here, the next time I am actually optimizing the campaign, instead of starting a new date altogether, I will actually go through my previous optimization first. So I would actually put a result last column and I will put like a very obvious win for me to say like, okay, the way I increase this, I can see the revenue improve, maybe exclude certain things also revenue improved. Actually, this granularity of my approach forms a pattern and it forms thinking format for me to approach Google campaign. Because if let's say on this list, I already see like there's a pattern for exclude certain things showing like massive improvement, then I would slowly roll it out across more campaigns, because obviously I wanted everything to improve at the same time, right? I also screenshot the log from another day just to give you guys more idea, because not everything is just like so straightforward. Because here I also mark things that I want to scale up for a weekend. I also pause certain keywords as well. You know, it's not all the same. And obviously if those idea after I have executed and it's not helping or it's actually bombed, I will also make sure to mark it at the result sessions as well. It really informs me how to spot patterns and stuff like that. I don't think this is a genius way to doing things. Again, I would love to know what are a better way to do this, but for me, this really does help. And also when your team is growing, when you have more than one media buyer, you really want to have this log for Google, because instead of looking at the history of the campaign on what is changes by another person, it would be way easier for you to just look at the changes at a glance with this simple sheet. All right, so next up, it's about attribution model. And this is definitely one of the single most important element or reason why we managed to crack Google before? Well, the whole Mindvalley ecosystem or the whole Google account that we have, all of those pixel and conversion goal was set based on the last click attribution model. And the reason is because, first of all, Mindvalley has a very complex ecosystem. And for the past 13, 14 years or so, Mindvalley actually uses the webinar funnel, right? So we would regard sign up, lead gen, and all those things as one of the conversions, and add to cart as another conversion as well. But when it comes to VSL, it's something very different. Ideally, with VSL, you wanted to only count purchase as your only conversion goal. But we've tried that before. When we started to move things into Google, honestly, I wasn't the person to start this whole project. We engaged a world-class agency, and they've tried to change the whole attribution model altogether. They wanted to change towards optimizing just the purchasing goal, which it's something will be my goal as well in the next few years if I'm still with the company, because the most ideal picture is, of course, for you to optimize towards ROAS and you actually beat towards ROAS. The model that we actually went for with VSL right now is actually still based on last click. So a lot of the data that we see on dashboard is not 100% accurate, which is really not ideal, but it works. It still works better compared to changing the funnel altogether at the beginning. So before I actually left the team is still actually working on moving things to GA4 and actually set up the e-commerce settings as well, so that with the GA4 360, hopefully that is where we can properly segment the conversion goal. So we even informed Google better in terms of like the actual revenue that we're getting at the back end, and hence the campaign learning and everything would be even more effective. I would say if, let's say, that is implemented correctly, we can achieve easily 20 to 30% incremental ROAS by just doing nothing. So I'm not sure which attribution model that you are already using, but definitely do take this into account as well. I would say this could be one of the most important elements that could make or break your campaign. Just like my Facebook session, I would love to leave some food for thoughts for you guys to also think of as well. The latest innovations that we had on Google is Performance Max. Again, this is actually not something new as well. According to the articles or some Twitter accounts that I follow, people look at Performance Max at a very different perspective. Either people really love it or people really hate it. And I kind of understand why as well, because Performance Max is indeed like a black hole. It's very hard for you to optimize it in the refined way because you don't even know which ad is actually working. Now, I do see some article already. You can actually implement some script at the back end so you understand which ad actually work. But if that's too difficult to you, I would say that just treat Performance Max as one of your lowest hanging fruit, because it's relatively easier to manage as well. All you need to do is just make sure that you keep switching up things that are, the headline or the ad that's actually having a low ranking. And that's pretty much about it, right? And another thing about with Performance Max is that if, let's say, you are targeting the top five English speaking country already, instead of grouping them at one campaign, which is what we do before, in order to capitalize win from Performance Max across all of this country, it's better to break things down according to different country for Performance Max campaign. In the regular campaign, we still kind of group those five speaking English country together in a campaign. But in Performance Max, because you just want to leverage on this campaign setup, so the easiest way to leverage on the wins is actually breaking things down according to different country, so that if, let's say, a certain country is really performing well, you can still double down on budget, because that's pretty much all you can do with Performance Max. So when we started, I do think Performance Max instantly gave us really good result already. The only challenging thing is that the frequency of changing the ad can be quite high at some time. And if, let's say, your media buyer doesn't touch creative at all, doesn't really want to touch banner, doesn't really want to touch like the headlines or whatsoever at all, it might take some time for the turnaround. But I would say Performance Max is definitely something you should try as one of the extra setup that you can leverage on when you already have a proven VSL. All right, so the last bit I have here is something called Video View Campaigns, and I'm actually already quite sure that this will not be available for you guys because Mindvalley will be the first company to experiment these Google products, but I would still like to explain the concept behind this so you can still actually find some way to hack around it. All right, so the concept of Video View Campaigns is actually very simple. Instead of having all of your campaigns set up in the VAC structure or like setup, you want to have another set of campaign set up first that is called video views. What this campaign does is you put in a combination of shorts and also like the long form video and also some banners to ensure that this group of creative is actually tackling the top of the funnel. So the purpose of this campaign is actually just to build awareness for people to be aware of your brand or your product first before they even being lead to the conversion funnel. It's actually quite similar to belt method, but because the way this campaign set up is within a campaign, so I would say the awareness and the conversion part is actually run concurrently instead of compared to the belt method is you have to run this set of campaign first and then you retarget this pool of people after 7 or 14 days according to your strategy. Obviously, we've already tried this with the other funnels that we have as well. Over there with the webinar funnel, we actually, instead of video views, we actually use reach as the conversion goal as campaign setup. So the same concepts apply. Basically, you wanted to have a set of creative that is tackling the awareness side of things first, and then concurrently, and then another part is where your VSL came in, go straight after the conversion. I would say in theory, this definitely does help to improve your CPA and ROAS already because you're not converting people as cold. And of course, for this video view or video reach campaigns, the CPM over there and the cost of advertising there would be relatively lower as well. So ultimately, when you're calculating your CPA of these two campaigns combined, it would definitely be still lower than your normal VAC campaigns. So yeah, I hope this is helpful. And if there are areas that I actually did not manage to touch base on, always reach out to the support team so that I can try to put on some other material together, or I can even jump on a few calls with you guys just to answer questions from the Google side of things. So I hope this is helpful. Again, happy scaling.